by music. A panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. Your chairman, Steve Race.
I've noticed an odd thing about musical tastes. When you're young, you want everybody to hear the kind of music you like. When you're old, you want to stop people enjoying music you don't like. Almost peculiar and a bit depressing. Nothing depressing, though, about my four colleagues, John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, Dennis Norton. John, there's a particularly marvellous kind of music we seldom get to hear in this particular programme. It's absolutely pure and seamless. You, I know, can give it a title, a composer, maybe a date, and certainly the number of parts that it was written in.
Sounds like a chunk out of the middle of,
yes,
what we used to call in wartime, Spam in Allium.
Yes.
So it's actually Spam in Allium. It's notated in 40 parts by Thomas Tallis.
Thomas Tallis, that is right, yes.
Who was buried in Greenwich.
Mm. Spam in Allium, beautiful sound.
Well, you just scraped through answering the question so interesting.
Yesterday, a friend of mine, Merrill Docker of Stowmarket, sent me a local press announcement about a concert of scared music.
Yes, no doubt beginning with Angus Day.
Well done. Frank, a bit of a contrast in music from two people with almost identical names. First, this. And now this. Two performers. Frank, what's the difference between Albert Sammons and Albert Ammons?
Well, apart from the fact that they're playing different instruments.
Yeah, that's a difference. That's
and
right.
There's... I've heard of Albert Sammons, not of...
Ah.
But of Johnny Ammons, and S.
No, no. S is the difference, that's right. It's extraordinary, they had Albert Sammons and Albert Ammons, both of them making their name in music. They're not sufficient of a name for you to have heard of Albert
it's
Ammons.
It's sort of semi-interesting, actually, isn't it?
It's what you... it's what you...
It's not sort of riveting, to be quite serious.
Fairly, very interesting, you often say. It's fairly, very... No, first of all, Albert Sammons was playing a little of the Elgar Violin Concerto, then Albert Ammons, boogie-woogie pianist from Chicago, was playing Shop for Joy. Ian, so familiar this, music of a certain date. By Fauré, it's called Masque Bergamas.
Well, I'm very glad you told me that. Yeah.
But, Ian, it was premiered in the same year that first saw The Moon and Sixpence, The Three-Cornered Hat, The Children's Newspaper, and The Birth of the Finest Bartolo I've Ever Heard. Which year was that?
Well, I would think that...
You're blushing.
Very, well, if indeed you intend to pay me a very nice compliment, Steve, then the year has to be 1919.
1919
it was. But I certainly remember, shortly after 1919, reading the children's newspaper, which seemed to me to be associated with a gentleman called Arthur Mee.
Arthur Mee, yes, that's right.
Dennis, I'm going to play you a few bars of her 3 o'clock song and then ask you afterwards if you know what an 11 o'clock song is. Now, 3 o'clock in the morning, what's an 11 o'clock song?
Well, that's an American expression, because the theatres finish a bit later over there. The most celebrated example of it was The Music Man, which was offered first of all to Ray Bolger. He was offered that part, and he didn't take it because he said it didn't have an 11 o'clock song. Now, what an 11 o'clock song is just before the finale, the principal has a song where he is alone on the stage, and Ray Bolger had the ideal 11 o'clock song in the show Where's Charlie, where he had Once in Love with Amy, which was 5 minutes of song, which he sometimes spun out to half an hour improvising and dancing and capering and singing extra choruses and so on. He said that there wasn't one in The Music Man, and so the part went to Robert Preston. Yeah. What he didn't know was that they were actually all 11 o'clock songs, in a sense, because he had 76 trombones, you've got Trouble in River City, yeah. Till There Was You, yeah. Marion, Wonderful yeah. Library.
Yeah. He was
so,
wrong.
Yeah.
You have eyes that put the very stars to shame. Nice line from a song. In fact, I think not far from being poetry. It comes from somebody
told me.
I have eyes. Bing Crosby's film, that's right. So here are some more words from songs. John, oh my poor feet.
That might come from Albert Herring of Benjamin Britten.
I've got it down as the little sweep.
Ah.
Let's make a
well, you're probably
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Because you probably had the books in front of you.
Yeah.
When you
really
questioned it.
Jolly
the
well,
answer in his
jolly
favorite.
Well to get Benjamin Britten, yes. Frank, I can think of 2 Hollywood songs that contain the words, Milkman's on his way.
The Milkman's on his way. Good morning.
Good morning.
We don't hold
that. That's right. Now the Milkman's on his way. It's too late to say good night. What's the other one? Milkman's on his way. Is the other one?
Yes. And there's Lullaby
that's right.
Broadway.
Lullaby Broadway. Sleep tight baby, Milkman's on his way.
Well, it started the bell, isn't it? Mm. Let's call it a day.
It does indeed. Yes.
Lullaby Broadway. Why are you laughing? Oh. He makes all the songs into 11 o'clock songs.
Yeah. Ian, rather a different kind of song. Can you tell me what is on the whatnot over the at stand in the all?
Oh, the biggest aspidistry in the world.
Oh, yes. And who made that famous, please?
Gracie Fields.
Yes, cool. Yes,
bless
right.
her heart.
Dennis, you're very good at this with your special knowledge of old popular songs, so this is going to make it difficult for you if I can. Boxing. A song that mentions boxing.
No.
Well, I was teasing you a little. Actually, the song mentions shadow boxing.
Shadow boxing. We used to wander through the park, shadow boxing. And I came and set the master four alarm fire now.
Yeah.
And everything else I'm beginning to see the light.
Did anybody out there understand that?
That was a kind of 8:30. No. Not if they're under 50.
I suppose there's a whole generation of listeners now who don't know what a 78 was. A 78 was a highly breakable, extremely heavy disc that spun round at a great rate and produced a great deal of jolly music, if you were lucky. Some examples coming up. John, can you please name the singer and identify the language in which he is singing?
Oh, it's all up a treat and I'm going for the prattle. Right next up a loon with some curious cattle. To tell you the truth, it was like a battle. It wasn't the way to the lock in the draw.
I think he's talking Ian Wallace Scott.
Yes, the wedding of Lochie McGraw, sung by...
Could it be Harry Lauder?
Could indeed. Frank, can you tell me the names of these two, please, and which was which?
In the little old church in the valley, where at first learned of sorrow and joy, can see one of them with her head bowed in prayer as she prays for the wandering born.
Oh dear, yes. You know who they were?
It's Leighton and Johnston.
Leighton and Johnston, yes. Which was which?
Well, they always had difficulty themselves in really. They, one sat down and played the piano and the other leant heavily on him and sang the high bits, didn't they?
Yes. Turner Leighton played the piano.
Oh, yes, of course.
And had what was always referred to as a lovely touch. Actually, he always recorded on superb pianos. He wasn't going to record just anywhere. The most lovely, rich piano he always insisted
on. They're a marvellous act.
Yes, they were.
Just gave pleasure for years and years.
Turner Leighton, incidentally, composed Way Down Yonder in New Orleans and After You've Gone.
Really?
Yeah. Ian, although this singer sounds like a woman, it was in fact a man by the name of Will Oakland. Just for once, why don't we get you to earn a mark by coming in with the refrain after he finishes the verse? You've sung this before in my music, and we got sackfuls of mail about it, or I did. So I hope you remember the words. Right. Will Oakland, first.
Following somebody who sounds like a woman.
Well, you'll hear that. Will Oakland, and then I'll accompany you when you take over for the chorus.
Oh, good. Lovely. Mm.
Your little home is waiting for me. White wings, they never grow weary. They carry me cheerily over the sea. Night comes, I long for my dearie. I'll spread out my white wings and sail home to thee.
A quarter to 12.
Yeah, I love it. Love it.
Of course, I perhaps could have...
White wings!
But I thought it might be ill-advised.
It's practically the same tune as Leighton and Johnson. Little Old Church in
Rather
the Valley.
Rather like it, yes. Dennis, in your case...
You're not going to do that,
are you? No, I'm going to play you the verse of a song that you may not know, and when it stops, I want you to improvise the opening line or lines of the sort of refrain that might follow. The singer before you take over is one Norman Blair. Here's his verse.
I've roamed the highways where black sheep are found. I've traveled byways around and around. I've altered my ways, now I'm homeward bound. I want to be where I can see.
And now the old church in the valley.
Well, that would do.
That's right.
Black wings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mother, you should.
Well, we'll hear mother. How the song really goes on.
Just play for. Just play.
Plain folk, throat. Ugly people.
Yeah.
Just plain folk.
Ugly people's anthem.
Well, look, I've roamed the valleys where black sheep are found. It's a wonderful opening line. We're all accustomed to those newspaper placards that read something like, Vicar Weds Chorus Girl. Or less frequently, of course, England Wins Ashes. Well, Peter Howarth of Barton-on-Sea noticed many years ago a large poster in London which read, Tito Burns Sextet. And he wondered, as he puts it, why the luckless six had incurred the marshal's wrath. Well, I'm in the market for any explanation as to why Tito, whichever Tito it might have been, should burn his sextet. Tito Burns Sextet. Oh, well, what happened?
No, I don't think he did, you see. I think it wasn't widely known that Marshal Tito was a great admirer of Robert Burns. And he got a lot of his songs, and he decided to get a sextet of very fine Romanian singers who learnt these songs, and they were known in all over Europe as the Tito Burns sextet.
Tito Burns, the Burns sextet. Yes, what an ingenious fellow you are, to be sure.
Isn't it odd? Everybody knew
this doesn't really answer the question, but the numbers fascinate me, that the thing to do clearly is to burn a sextet, but grill a quintet. Or the other way around.
Only people over 80 got that.
We know. It's very difficult because we know Tito Burns,
Tito Burns. I'm trying to just say, accordionist, band leader, now agent.
Wife was a vocalist called Terry Devon. Yeah. Very funny man, yeah.
Tell me, pretty maiden, are there any more at home like you? Is a question song with a number of possible answers like yes or no or several more at home like me. I've worked out for you some other songs that ask a question. So I'd like to hear, please, not what the song's called. I'd like to hear you answer. John. John, how deep is the ocean?
Well, it depends. And how deep does an ocean have to be before it's called an ocean?
Well, at the very
end. Or do you want the answer from the song?
I've walked half an inch into the Pacific Ocean, so I think it was any depth, I think. How deep is the ocean? You've got the answer, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Any depth you care to mention. Yeah. Frank, your question. To understand.
Upsetting power.
Frank, how are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris?
Well, you pay them basic farming wages, and they can't afford to go to Ambridge for the cinema.
Ian. Who is Sylvia, Ian, and what is she?
That's none of your business. And I might add that with my wife in the audience, you've just blown it.
Who is Sylvia? What is he? Yes.
Dennis, you've been to this place, so you must know the answer.
What do you do on a rainy night in Rio?
Yes.
Well, you do the same as on a rainy night in Hounslow, but with a samba beat.
I'll buy that.
By golly, it does rain there when it rains.
Does it? Yeah. I'm going to play you some music now. Four blues compositions from an album by Ted Heath and his music. John, can you identify the instrument taking the lead in this performance of St. James's Infirmary? Instrument on top.
I would think it is a saxophone.
Yes, what sort? What sort of range was it in?
Soprano?
Yes, soprano sax, played by Ronnie Chamberlain. Ronnie Chamberlain. Well, it can be curved, but that's
straight. When you said it's from the infirmary, I thought it's one of those rubber tubes and it's the end of a bed or something.
Frank, your turn. Which blues is this? Yes,
Honky Tonk Train Blues.
Yes, that's right, by me, Lux Lewis, the Boogie Woogie Pin.
My favourite when I was a lad.
Ian, can you name this thoroughfare and the city it's in? wonderful trombone sound from
wonderful.
Keith Christie.
Wonderful.
A real
yes,
Jack
sir,
Teagarden
I can
sound.
Tell you, yeah. because mm. way back in the summer I was in New Orleans.
Yes, that's right.
And was in Basin Street, yes. and it was a great place
yes.
to go.
Yes, Basin Street in New Orleans, yes. Dennis, I think this is interesting. What connection has this song with the Bells of St. Mary's?
I take it, it's not geographical, is it?
It's not St. Mary's, near
Limehouse. It's Limehouse yes. Blues. Is it to do... Oh, did is it Douglas Ferber?
Because both did, by the same composer,
yeah. Yeah,
yes.
He was a very unacknowledged man, isn't he, Douglas Ferber? One of the great names in musical comedy.
But how different they are. Limehouse Blues, 1917, and The Bells of St. Mary's in 1922, just 5 years
yeah, apart. Yeah, and he wrote for everybody, Buchanan, Henson.
Now we come to the party pieces. Before I divulge what each of the four has chosen for a song this week, let me mention Tim Gillen, who wrote to me from Amersham about the bandleader Jack Payne. Jack Payne always used to irritate me, wrote Mr. Gillen, by introducing an instrumental number after a vocal with the words, "And now for some music." I'm not going to make that mistake. We've got a music hall song from Frank, a favourite Scots love song from Ian, with some whistling and a typical Dennis Norton number in between. Frank's concerned about Mrs. Moore, just as Lily Morris was before him.
Don't have any more, Mrs. Moore. Mrs. Moore, please don't have any more. The more you have, the more you want, they say. But enough is as good as a feast any day. If you have any more, Mrs. Moore, you'll never get to your front door. Too many double gins give the ladies double chins. Don't have any more, Mrs. Moore.
So that's a much later song than you might imagine. 1926 that comes from. And this from the pursed lips of John Amos is rather earlier, 1905, though somebody later added a few words. I'll give you a chord, John.
Right.
The sunbeams dancing round so happy and gay. Hear them saying, isn't this just a wonderful day? Whistle all your cares away. At the break of the day, you will say, what a wonderful morning.
Whistler and His Dog, both roles played by John.
Doing a disco version of that, aren't you, John?
There's no limits to what that man will do for a round of applause, you know. Ian Whitcomb was one of the writers of the song that Dennis has found. It's a good night song. In fact, it's called Good Night, Little Girl, Good Night.
Good night, little girl, good night. I hope that you get home all right. Your kisses were fine, and with each glass of wine, I felt sure we'd end up at your place or mine. But I was wrong, little girl, dead wrong. So I guess I'll be running along. 'Cause if I couldn't win ya with all the booze I put in ya, good night, little girl, good night.
Max Wilton House in Dumfriesshire was the birthplace of the girl whom Ian now sings about.
Max Wilton Bray's on a body wherever falls the dew, and it's there that Annie Laurie gave me her promise true. Gave me her promise true, which never God will be, and for a bonnie Annie Laurie I'd lay me doon and die, like dew on the gowan lying is the four fairy feet, and like winds in summer sighing, her voice is low and sweet. Her voice is low and sweet, and she's all the world to me. And for a bonnie Annie Laurie I'd lay me doon and die.
What can follow that? Nothing but the score, which shows a victory this week. This week. For Dennis and Ian. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkin.